We're going to start talking about something I'm really excited about. And it's been coming into my spirit for a while, but just really exploded this morning. And that is that God, we are at a time where God is wanting to increase our faith. He's wanting to increase what we believe about who he is and what he's getting ready to do in a place where we're going to just so easily believe him for it. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about God is love. If you think back over the years, God is so patient and slow. We started out with this knowing him as Christ and Savior and Father and trusting him. We spent, I don't know how many years, just on the word dependence, learning to depend on him, just depending on him for everything. And then Brother Harvey was talking for a long time down here about love. What does love look like? And then when I came in, what did we do? We looked at God is love. We went right on with seeing God as love. And now he wants us to see him as life. And that word is power-packed. Because it's not just, you know, we already know that God is life. We already know that. We're going to get to know that until it lives inside of us. And we get so excited about not only is Jesus life, abundant, vibrant, creative, can do anything life, but he's inside of us. That means that life lives inside of us. That's why we're at a time when it's important to God that we have an increase of faith. Because he wants to release that life in new ways, powerful ways that we haven't even seen before. Right now, we have trouble believing for. So let's look at John 11. And we're not going to get the full understanding of this today. These are some very curious scriptures. And we're not going to get the full understanding of them this morning. But they're scriptures that I have read. I can't even count the times I've read them and said, I want to own this. I want to completely own everything this means. I want to get this. So let's look at this. The raising of Lazarus. And some of the things Jesus said there at that time. So I'm going to ask somebody to read John 11, 1 through 6, and then 11 through 15. So let's go there together. Somebody want to read that?
Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
And then go down to 11 through 15.
Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
So we see that Jesus, first of all, said Lazarus is sleeping. He didn't say he was dead. There is a difference in the sleeping dead and the dead. That's something if you want to study that out and check it out. You know, he says one day all those that are sleeping, they'll rise again. There's a difference in Christians when they die and other people when they die. There's a difference in the way they die and what Jesus calls that. But he did make it clear that he was literally, physically, and completely dead. He was dead and buried in a grave. But what stands out here is Jesus said, I'm not going to leave here for two more days, and then it'll take us 2 days to get there. He wanted Lazarus good and dead in the body. completely deteriorating, I mean, beyond the point of any possibility that anybody might think he'd been buried alive. That was no longer a possibility. And I remember one time when he told me somebody else was going to raise from the dead. He said, one day your sister's going to raise from the dead. Man, for a while after she died, I was like, should I go out there today and get her? You know, day two, day three, day four. Should I go today, Lord? Day six, day seven. When do you want me to go get her? I was so believing him. I was ready to run out there. I didn't know. I was a pretty heavy stone, too, because Dick had already died first, her husband. And they had this, it had to be this big, didn't it, hon? Gigantic headstone with a big picture of each of them on it. I mean, it was, they wanted memorial to mom. What, am I exaggerating?
No, it's that she died and that he died
a month later. Oh, you're right. But the stone was there when she died.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So it was that huge.
Right.
You're right. I got the desk mixed up. But okay. The stone was just that big. So I'm going, man, that's going to be something, you know, because they're going to roll it away. They're going to have to push it off, dig, you know, 6 feet down, get those caskets up. And that's going to be a big thing. But, you know, it just kept going. Time kept going. Time kept going. And I'm like, Lord, I thought you were going to get my sister up. And he said, what is the difference of 4 days or 40 days? Deteriorated is deteriorated. Well, I got hope for 40 days. Well, it went on and on and on. And finally, I said, what's the difference? 40 days, 40 years. One day, and I'm going to be there because I asked him to let me be there. One day, I'm going to watch her get up. Amen. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen. And I've thought about that over and over and over. Because I thought, what if I went out there and I, you know, I get my sister up and she's still my sister. Looks like she always looked and she's alive again. You know, I could take her. She's got 5 living kids. I could take her to their house. They miss her. They love her. Her one boy was only 17 when she died. I mean, her kids were young. She'd only seen one of her grandkids. If I took her to their house and said, this is your mother, she got up out of the grave and Jesus gave her life again, you know, they would be quicker to believe she was an alien from outer space. They would go, some kind of alien creature just made a look-alike. They cloned my mom to look like her. It can't be her. They would rather believe in science fiction than to believe that God could raise the dead. Now, we thought about youth renewal. If I were made 20 today, what would happen to my driver's license when I go to renew it? And they say, this is not you. I just renewed it at 69. So when I renew it again, I'm going to be 73. What if I look 20 when I'm 73? They won't give me the license. They'll probably throw me in jail and start running all kinds of interrogation to find out why I'm trying to steal somebody's ID. This one time I'd be glad I was arrested when I was younger. My fingerprints are on file, so they could prove it's me. But then what have happened if they did prove it's me? Now I'm telling them it's a miracle of God. Then it's going to hit the newspapers like, big flash, woman is made young again, you know? When a miracle that big happens, it draws a crowd. It draws a crowd. And that's one of the reasons Jesus did not do miracles until he was 30. It wasn't time to draw a crowd. It wasn't because he couldn't. He grew up. He saw people. He saw people that were sick, people that he loved, maybe saw people die. He saw people that had needs, and he did no miracle to meet those needs because it wasn't time.
Right.
And there's a timing to everything. Well, there was a timing for this event. Jesus said, I am getting ready to do things beyond your ability to believe me. And that's why I'm letting Lazarus die. And that's why I'm waiting 4 days. And that's why I'm going to raise him from the dead now in front of you so you can believe me. You know, there's a reason they call Christians sheep. Sometimes we call us dumb sheep. God never called us dumb sheep. He's nicer than me. But the dumb part is that, you know, sheep are good in that they just follow their shepherd anywhere he goes. They love his voice. They love his presence. And they feel safe and they just stick with him no matter what. Well, Thomas was one of those that was showing the dumb side that day because Jesus said, it is a good thing that I let him die. So Thomas interpreted the word of God any way he wanted. And Thomas said, let's all go there and die too. That wasn't the point. But we sometimes hear God say something and we jump on it and want it to mean what we want it to mean. And that's not exactly the reason they were going to go do that. I want to say something about Jesus when it was time. When it was time for him to come forward and be seen publicly, to be heard publicly, to do great miracles, to preach. He preached repentance powerfully. He preached the kingdom of God, the ways of God, who God is and what he's about. He manifests who God is. And he healed the sick and he cleansed the lepers and he cast out demons. And now he's getting ready to raise the dead. But there was a time. Now Jesus, when it was time for him to be released into this movement of God, this outward explosion of God, he got baptized and the Holy Spirit was seen coming on him and remaining on him. Does that ever confuse you? Jesus is God. He's fully God. Why did the Holy Spirit come when he was 30, come on to him and remain on him? Didn't he already have the Holy Spirit if he's God? Why did he need more God if he is God? One reason for that was he lived a life where he said, eat my flesh, meaning devour the way I lived. I example to you how God wants to live inside of a man. I exampled how God comes to live in flesh. So I did it exactly the way you have to do it. I did it first 30 years with no power being used at all. I did it without me ever doing my own will, using God power to do anything I ever wanted to do. And therefore, I got baptized as an example to you. And I had a different presence of God on my life from that moment on. When it is time for God to release us, there will be a different increase, portion, and aspect of God that will come upon us. But before it does, we will be prepared for it. John the Baptist preached to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Right. We have been in the preparation for the coming of the Lord. The reason I'm excited this morning is the aspect of God he wants us to get ready for now, being life. The power of life to raise the dead, to heal the sick. Now, we've seen it a little bit, but we haven't seen that explosively released. There is a time we're going to see. You know, I don't know if we're going to be here for the tribulation, us, these physical bodies. I know people will be, and we're preparing people for that. If we're made young, maybe we'll be here for that. But I believe we're going to be here for the greatest outpouring ever of winning people to Christ. Before God comes and ends it all, wouldn't it make sense that he would pour out the greatest soul-winning, searching, healing, bringing people last chance ever to come into God and make that choice that the world has ever seen? The last chance ought to be the biggest chance, the greatest display ever. And he's preparing us for that.
Right.
And I got just this morning, it was like life, you know? It's what created everything we looked in that video. Life of God, by the spoken word, created all of that. Now Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the grave, and how is he going to do it? By a spoken word. How does he come in the horse at the end of all time with a sword in his mouth? Spoken word. But what comes out of that breath is life.
Amen.
Is life. And he says he has the authority to release life. Now he came in the Holy Spirit, birthed a new move of God. I'm going to mess with you a little bit, and you might have to go home and figure this one out. A lot of people have taught us that God is three in one. That God is literally only one person with three different expressions of who he is. But I believe God is three persons that agree so totally in one that they become so unified that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. But I do believe there is a Father, Jesus is at the right hand of his Father. Jesus does nothing except the Father speaks to him what to do. Jesus came here as a son of God, showing us sons how to submit to the Father. Okay? The Holy Spirit, I believe, is like the mother heart of God. So she is like the wife of God, like Father God, Mother God, and the Son of God. Guess what we are? The bride of Christ.
Right.
Coming in to complete this family. To complete it. The Son needed a wife. Is that awesome? So if the Holy Spirit represents this more tender, compassionate, gentle, mothering aspect of God, who does the birthing in a family? Mother. So when God is going to do something, the Holy Spirit comes to birth what God is going to do. No man can contain all of God. Everything God is, everything God wants to do could never be held by one man other than Christ himself. But in us, we get a portion. We're created as a certain aspect, a certain reflection of God. And then when God says, I put everything in you that I want you to be on earth. But when it's time to awaken and to birth a certain thing in you that I want to do, there is a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. There is a new anointing and birthing that will happen in you, that will awaken and bring life for you to move with God and allow God to flow through you. He's getting ready to do that in the church. So we're going to be spending a little time getting to know God as life, because he's going to birth into this church the ability for a right now faith, not a someday faith.
Amen.
So that's just kind of introduction there, okay? So that's why we want to understand. We want to understand something I've been after for years, and that is death defeated. And that is some of the words of Christ about raising the dead or never dying. Never dying. We're just going to understand him a little better as who he is as life. John 11, 14 and 15, Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't here. He was glad because it was time to increase their faith. These disciples already knew him. They had walked with him. They'd accepted him as the Messiah. They had their sins forgiven. They were watching him heal people already. They believed he could heal. Martha believed he could heal. They believed what they had already seen him do. And that's where our faith is right now. We believe strongly in what we've already seen him do. I believe real strong in the miracle of inner healing, because I've experienced so much of it. I have no problem believing God can time travel back, fix your broken heart, undo what the devil did, renew you, restore you, make you a totally. I feel like I've been raised by the best daddy in the whole wide world because of the inner healing that he's done. It's easy for me to believe that. Easy. Some people have had so much physical healing, it's very easy for you to believe that he will physically heal someone because he did it for you. Freely you receive, freely you give. Raising the dead is a little harder to believe, isn't it? It's a little harder for us to get that up because we don't see it happen. If we had a man walk in here missing an arm and you had the little thought come in your brain, because that's how God talks, you should go over there and let me grow him a new arm. Could you go, oh yeah, that's going to happen? Run over and touch that arm and know it's going to grow? Is your faith right there for that? Have you ever seen it? Would you go, what if that's not really God? Well, you know, if I go over there and say that and it doesn't happen, then that guy's going to really say, yeah, how real is your God? You know, you prayed for me, nothing happened. I had that kind. That's not faith. That's me doing what I'd like to see happen. I tried that early on, didn't I? Our little grandsons pigeon-toed as they could be. They're almost tripping themselves over their own toes. And I said, that's all right. God can make those feet straight. In the name of Jesus, make those feet straight right now. Feet straighten up. They're still walking over their own toes, tripping down. my son and his wife were just shaking their head. Mom's a fanatic. She's gone off the deep end. It didn't help anybody, and it hindered my faith. It made me draw back from stepping out to speak healing on the next person. But God didn't say he was going to do it that day. See, it is God in our breath when we speak. And if God didn't say he's doing it, he doesn't get in your breath when you speak, and nothing happens. Well, we wanted him to do things because we read the Bible and we know those things can happen. I put mud in my eye when I got saved. I literally did. I went and got it, and I made mud, and I smacked it on my closed left eye and said, when I open that eye in the name of Jesus, I will have a healed eye. All I had was a dirty eye, flushing it, flushing the water out, cleaning it up, running off like a puppy with my tail between my legs, wondering why God didn't do it, because I really believed him. It wasn't time, and he didn't say so. His word goes with his miracle. But we have the living word. We have the shepherd who is leading and speaking. And if we speak what he's speaking, life is in the breath that is spoken. It's not just a word. It's alive. It has power. But there's a timing. There's a timing to what he's doing. He didn't want me to be 20 today because he didn't want 2,000 people cramming into this basement insisting we make them young. We're not ready for that. You know, I think that's why Jesus stayed on the go without a home. He didn't want them to always know where he was, because they did. Crowds came after him. He had to walk on water to get away from them, because there were just too many people. And they weren't all after God. They were after a miracle. I think when Thomas said, let's all go die with him, Jesus just shook his head and smiled. He'll get it later. You know, just, you know, we don't understand. She didn't understand. Thomas doesn't understand. They don't understand, but they kept following him. They kept following him. And there's a difference in heart if you just keep following him. We'll understand later. There were other people after that that came dead. Came alive from the dead. In Acts, we saw that Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. You know, so had he not been there that day and had that increase in faith, he might not have had the faith when that woman needed to be raised. So God does what he does for a purpose. In Matthew 10, 7 through 8, Jesus sent out his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, see, preach comes first. There's a message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received. I had not, at this point, received full faith in all the things he wants to do. But we're about to receive an impartation of something that's going to awaken the life in us to where we believe, to where we so get a hold of, hey, I got vibrant life right here. What do you want to do, life? What do you want to do, life? Oh, I want to do that. Okay, go. Go for it. I know you're going to do it. It has to come alive. It has to jump in us. We're not Eeyore going, already knew that. Already knew I had life. That kind of feels more like death. Steve Busula, is it happening today? Is it? Let's go through what Jesus told him to do. Are we preaching today? Yes. Are we casting out devils? Frequently. Are we healing some sick people? Yeah, slightly. Are we raising any dead people? What, anybody in this room ever raised a dead person? I would love to hear your story. Anybody raised a dead person? Steve Busula did. He told us his story. He went way out in the country somewhere, far out there, and people found him and said, there's a dead girl at our house, or little teeny-weeny shack. Please, am I getting it right? I thought he went there. They brought the girl to the house where he was staying, a dead girl.
And he wouldn't come out of his room.
Keep telling me. Keep going. So he finally took the baby in the room alone with him. Do you know that you don't need somebody on the other end receiving? Because you can raise a dead person and they're not going, "I believe." They're going, "I'm dead. I don't know anything," you know. But what you can't have on the receiving end is doubt.
Right.
If you have someone on the other end going, "That's ridiculous. I don't believe it," they won't receive it.
Right.
They block it out.
Right.
Dead is better than doubt.
Right.
Can raise the dead. You can't raise the doubter.
Right.
Can't do anything with someone who doubts. Right. You know, I love it when I go to pray this morning for Glenn and Janiyah. Both of them have clogged up heads. They're not totally clear yet, are they? Are they better? Are yours better? What I felt when I touched their head was I felt this little breeze of God, slow and peaceful breeze. And I felt them receive it. I felt it go in. Now, she's a little more like, "Oh," you know, over she went. "I'm going to fall." You know, she's more dramatic. And, you know, that is dramatic. I'm sorry, that's dramatic. Harvey, he just got loopy, you know, and I just stand there like nothing, but I feel it. Huh? Oh, who do you come by? It's in the blood. But I know I felt it received. It went in. And it is continually, very slowly working in there, in those sinuses, moving around, opening passages. It's working. It's going. It's going to work. It is working. And I know that. I experience them receiving it. There are times I pray for people, and they go, "Whoa, I feel God moving. Whoa, it's just coming right back in me," because they don't receive it. It like backflows right into you when they don't receive it. And their doubt will block it.
Yep.
But a dead person's a lot easier to raise. So if you have the faith to heal a living, the dead is easier. Really, that's a simple fact. There's no resistance. I might have to take that back. Because we went to raise Lloyd when he died. And he just wouldn't come. His spirit was there, and God finally said, "He doesn't want to come back. Leave him alone." You know, he's not going to because he doesn't want to.
Right.
Get up, Lloyd! You can't make him. He didn't want to. But Apostle Steve raised a dead person. I heard of a story in Africa. I've told it before, that a lady's baby died, and all the missionaries came together and they made a circle, and she's holding that baby, and they're all just declaring the baby's going to live and the baby's not going to stay dead and come back. And one by one, they walked away. They walked away, telling her, "God's not going to raise that baby. It's not going to happen. Give it up." One stayed with her. And the woman said, "I won't give it up. I won't give it up." And she cried and she pleaded and she begged. And suddenly, she felt the breath and that baby moved. And the baby came alive again. What do you think healed that baby? Her compassion? Do you think her compassion could heal a baby? If compassion from us could heal, we'd have a lot of dead raised. We have a lot of people we want not to die, and we're compassionate about it. If compassion could raise the dead, we'd start doing it right now. We could do that. It wasn't her compassion that raised the dead. It was her compassion that touched the heart of God, whose compassion raised the dead. God was touched by her, and he always planned to raise that baby, and that's why he gave her that stubborn will and deep compassion, because he planned on raising that baby, and that baby came back to life. Now, for a while, I thought, I'm in trouble. If it takes that depth of compassion, Miss Logical here with all her solutions is never going to raise anybody. It doesn't take my compassion, or I would be in trouble. It takes his compassion. Us just letting when he wants to speak it. He's the one of the compassion, that the life that can raise the dead. All he said at that grave was, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, we see these healings where people are going, "In the name!" You know, like you got to scream at demons for them to obey God. He doesn't have to scream at them. Now, I'm not saying you can't. Some people's personality gets in there. And they might want to shake and shout and scream. God does not have to shake, shout, scream.
Right.
He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I think the whole earth could have shaken just because he said that. That thing shook, and then he already told him to move the rock, you know. He could have shaken the rock off. But he simply said it. He just said it, and it had to happen. It's that simple. When he's saying it, it's that simple because he is life. Now, Jesus said to Martha that he was the resurrection and the life. And then he said, do you believe that? She said, I know my brother's going to raise again in the resurrection when in the last day when everybody gets woke up. And he said, I am the resurrection. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He said, if a man would believe that, though he were already dead, he'd come alive again. And if you're alive, you would never die. You would never, how did he word that? Shall never die. Believest thou this? He just said a hard thing to her. Because she had already seen him heal. She already knew he was God. She already knew he was her Savior, her lover. He loved her. She had experienced him. She'd watched him heal. She even said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't even have died. I fully know you would have healed him. And he said, but I'm saying, I'm resurrection life. And I'm already here. And if you're already dead, you'll come alive. And if you're already alive, you'll never die. Do you believe that? And she's like, can't wrap my head around that thought. I've struggled with that verse for years. I can't wrap my head around that thought either. Because why do we die? Because I do believe he's resurrection life. Why do we still die? I know a lot of people that believe he's resurrection life that still die. So why do you say that? It seems like it's not true. It seems impossible. Total opposite of any logic. And Martha stood there and thought about that. And she said, I believe you're the Christ. She gave him what she had. I don't know what the heck you're talking about, God. Doesn't make any sense. But if you said it, I know it's true. I mean, you're asking me if I believe what you said, and I believe everything you say, but I can't just honestly say, I believe I'm never going to die. So what I'm going to give you is what I do. You're the Christ. I believe you're the Christ. So if you said it, it's true, but I don't get it. I don't get it. She didn't even get the part of he's already dead, he'll live again. Until a few minutes later when he called her brother forth. Well, when he called her brother forth, she went, okay, now I got half of it. If he's already dead, he's going to live again. And I just saw the already dead brother live again. I got that half. Could I grab onto the other half that I would never die? No, I don't know. I'm still struggling with that part. But guess what? I'm still following. You're still the Christ. You're still God. I don't have to understand you. You talk above my head all the time. But I'm still following you. I'm sticking with you.
Amen.
And I'm going to believe you can do whatever you said you can do, even if I don't get it.
Amen.
Martha had a someday faith. Someday faith. And that's what we have in so many things. I know God can do it. Someday. I know he will. Someday. Just not today. Just not right now. God wants us to have a right now faith. He wants us to have a faith that's so alive that when he speaks, we're ready to say, yes, I know you're going to do it. I don't have to struggle at the graveside wondering. I already saw you do it for Lazarus through Scripture. I already heard you speak it to Martha. Now, I don't know what it means, but I got it. I believe it anyway. Do you believe it? I believe it. Just don't know what it means. Don't fully know what it means, but I believe it. Jesus was questioning the basis of her faith when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. She believed that. That's what she could believe. Jesus went to the scribes and Pharisees. He told them some of the same stuff. Now, isn't that amazing? He told it to his disciples, but he had actually already told it. In chapter 8 of John, he had already told it to the Pharisees and the scribes. Let's see how they respond. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, we're not going to chase that through Scripture today, but we are going to do that later. The light of life. If we are walking in the light, we will see what the life wants to do, and then we will believe for it. But that's a clue. We're going to go after that later. But remember now, he's talking to those who are against him, and they're only religious with no relationship. They don't even believe he's the Christ. In fact, they keep calling him a devil. So let's see, why does he talk to them this way? In verse 51 of John 8, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. Now, why are you going to go say that to unbelievers? If a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. Well, let's see what they're going to do with that. Martha's answer, remembered, was, I believe you're the Christ. That's all she could give him. Let's see what they give him. Verse 52, 53. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know you have a devil. Total opposite. You tell us we never have to die if we keep your sayings. Now we know you're a devil. They took literally the words he spoke that were impossible to believe and used that to judge him to be the devil. They said, Abraham is dead. Evidence. And the prophets are dead. More evidence. And you say, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. First of all, he didn't say taste. He said, see. You want to do a word study? Look at those two words, see and taste. They have different meanings. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Yeah. That's what you're missing. And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thyself? In other words, who do you think you are? Who are you making yourself out to be? Obviously, you're telling us you're God. Yeah, I'm trying to tell you that. That's exactly the point. That was his point to Martha, and that was his point to them, and they missed the point. Because they took something so impossible, illogical, unreasonable, no ability to believe what you just said. And then they judged him not to be truth, therefore not to be God. Martha took what he said, unreasonable, impossible to believe, can't understand it, and said, I do know you're Christ. Period. That's the end of it. You are who you are. So even I don't understand. But I want to understand it. You know me. I'm a mystery chaser. God says I'm his detective. He gave me all the curiosity because he wanted me to find the mysteries. And this is the current one we're chasing. How could he say we're never going to die or never going to see death? Check those out. We'll get into that later. We're just kind of overviewing today. So let me just ask where our faith is at. Let's test it. Who do we know? Because eternal life is to know God. So let's check out what we know about him. Do you know him as Christ? The Messiah, the Savior, the one who came to die to pay for your sin? Yes. Then you've met him. You know him as Christ. Do you know him as love? Yes. We've been in love a long time. Have you experienced the depths and heights? And we probably still only tasted, but we know him as love. Do you know him as wisdom? Yes. You ever called on him when you don't know what to do and he gave you wisdom? Do you know him as fire? You ever been in those purging fires and found some deep and true repentance of something that you saw like you'd never seen it before, and now you don't want it in your life anymore? You've known him as fire? But have we fully known him as life? Have we just taken that word and said, of course he's life. He created people. He created trees. Of course he's life. Or have we really experienced the relationship with him as life? He wants to keep living. We're the bride and body of Christ. He wanted to keep living in his disciples from that day forward. And he said to them, now I want you to go and preach the kingdom. Preach repentance. Preach the love of God. And I want you to heal the sick and cast out devils. And I want you to raise the dead. So you have to know me as life to raise the dead. There's a lot of things life does, and there's a lot of things death does. It puts people physically in a grave, but it also kills you in your spirit. It kills your joy. It kills truth in you. It kills a lot of things in people, things that we can bring back to life. If we start experiencing him in a relationship of this power source of life, turn on that electricity of life and let it flow into some people to wake up life in them, even before they hit the grave. We're going to get into that. John 5. Let's go there. This is really good stuff. John 5, verse 24 through 30. I want to leave you with this section. I want you to take this scripture. Read them all again. They're great. But especially John 5, 24 through 30. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Two things here. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me. It takes hearing and it takes believing. Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's our ministry. There it is in two verses. If we will hear what God's doing, if we will believe what God's doing, then that life, that everlasting life inside of us, we will pass from our dead unbelief into the life of full belief. And then, right now, Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, now, it's already the time that the dead can hear the voice of the Son of God. And if they will hear that voice, there's the receivers. If they will hear it when we speak it, they will live. Those two verses, please take those two verses home. Own them, pray them, eat them, devour them. Ask God to show you what they mean. Ask God to breathe life into you through them so that his life in you can start jumping up and down, shooting out electricity, waking up life in other people, and we can get ready for this great move of God that's coming because it's time. It's time. He wants it to happen for us. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, he gave life to be in the Son and authority to execute judgment. I judge that you will not die today, you will live. That's a judgment. That's a judgment. He put all that in Jesus. Where is Jesus? Inside of us. This is his body. And all of that is in this body, right here, us. Where's his voice? How does he speak? What does he say? I don't know. Find out. Who will hear the voice that we're speaking? There's life. There's creative life. Creative life. Resurrection life. And it's still here in his body, inside of us. But don't leave out verse 30 when you're studying those two. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let's get ready to be sent to some people. Full force of life, pumping and flowing and doing miracles. And I don't just mean miracles like growing arm. We're going to see that. We are. We're going to see the dead raised. We are going to see the dead. Does this even get louder when I do that, or am I just being silly? We are going to see the dead raised.
Amen.
We are going to see arms growing out, old people made young. We're going to see things beyond our imagination, and those things are only what I've imagined. I haven't imagined them. He's told me. What can you imagine? We're going to see more than you can imagine. God's going to do things that's not been done before.
Right.
And we're going to believe him for it. If we hear his voice and believe and then step out and speak his words into people.
Amen.
We are where that abundant life is resting. And I think he's been resting. I think he's been resting for a long time while we learned and prepared other things. But there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If we will get ready for this expression of God, there's going to be a new anointing. There's going to be a new birthing in us to begin releasing this life.
Right.
For those who are ready, those who are willing and ready, for those that are even just like Thomas, I don't know where you're going, but I'll go there and die too. No, Thomas, but just come on, go with me. If we just simply go with him, you know? Yeah, you got it all wrong, but just come on. I'll show you what we're doing when we get there. And sometimes that's what our faith does. Shows
right.
us what he's doing when we get there. Right now, let's just get our faith ready to go there by believing what's unbelievable that he said. We're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to it because we're going to take the life was the light of man, because light guides us. It illuminates. It shows us what he's doing. It's so connected. Everything is so connected. The love, the life, all of it is so connected. But right now, we need you is get out of Eeyore's camp, come alive. Okay?
Amen.
Eeyore's barely alive. I want to be a Tigger. Amen, Jesus. Just please follow us home, or well, lead us home. We'll follow you. Wake us up, God. Wake us up. We need a new birthing, awakening. I think a lot of us are asleep like Lazarus, you know, just kind of laying down there in the spirit realm taking a nap. We will need to be awakened, God. Please awaken us to what you want to do and to the intent that we would believe. God, we want to see your life in us, in your word. We want to hear your words. Please quicken this to us, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.